So we do this part two briefly.
No questions will come out from yesterday. Are you now saying?
I see.
This peace, God bless your soul.
Amen.
Yeah, amen, amen. Praise God. So, of course, just see in line with what we are saying since we have no excuse to be an island, claiming we don't have any man over us. Eh? No man has that excuse. Even the church leader cannot be an island. You are not the only one that knows what you know. So you are not an island. Are you with me? That test for independence that I'm just on my own is evil. It's not of God. I'm just on my own. I am not in alliance with anybody. I learn from nobody. I don't respect anybody in ministry. I am just me. That is a lie. It's ambitious. Are you with me? Come on, are you with me? Also to say that the Holy Ghost or Jesus that is even not around, that is your teacher or your mentor. Jesus is not around. That is your mentor, your teacher. It's to say it means you are following yourself. You are saying the Holy Ghost is my teacher. It means you are following yourself. You need a man over you. Every man follows someone. Don't discard. Let me say it again. To say you are not following anybody is that you are following yourself. So don't discard humanity. Same thing I'm saying. Not all men are worth following. But learn to seek for God in men, and without long, you will see him. Learn to seek for God in men. If you seek for God in men, you will find God in men. I'm not saying all men are worth following, but if you seek God in men, you will yet find God in men. But don't forget, sincerity will be key in your pursuit. Even if you are in a place, if you are hearing me on Facebook, and you are in a place where they say there is no church, or maybe there's no word church like that, if you are sincere, you will yet see God in a man, in an assembly. You will yet see that God in a church. It may not be as perfect as you really want, but you have no excuse to be an island. You have no excuse to be independent. You have no excuse to say, well, it's just me and me. No, it's not just you and you. Are you with me? Are you with me? Say we choose to serve God together. Say we choose to serve God together. So it's a dangerous state to be. To be an island that I'm just on my own, no. It's a dangerous state to be. Now, God has a plan for the world. But he has a way he carries it out. That is just our God. We cannot change him in such an hurry. God, for instance, in the Old Testament, God wants to bless the world, yet he selected Israel to carry out the plan. Israel was not selected for the sake of Israel. Israel was selected for the sake of the world. Rush to Exodus chapter 19, verse 3. Let's see if we can do this in just 40 minutes and we'll be done. Please, be fast. Exodus 19, verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, verse 4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptian, and how I bear you on eagle's wing and brought you unto myself. Focus on verse 5 and 6, please. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. You don't really get what he's saying clearly there. See the next verse. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of what? Priests. And what? Holy nation. So, that would mean the whole Israel is to be a priest. That would mean they will have been ministering to other nations. Are you with me? Priests don't minister to priests. Priests minister to others. That means God wants them to teach all other nations his redemptive plan. God wants Israel, that was the original plan, to share with all other nations his plan of Genesis 3:15. His plan to break the union between the serpent and the woman. God wants Israel to come together, to come and learn, so that they can minister to every other nation. That was the plan. The plan is not to have an Israel that is separated from the rest of the world. No, Israel was called to bless the entire world. Are you with me? Are you with me? Come on. So, see Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, in the initial commission to Abraham. See the way he puts it here, clearer. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a what? A great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name what? Great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that what? Curseth thee. Don't mind that those one. Latter part, want to go? And in thee shall what? All families of the earth be blessed. If you remember, in the in Galatians chapter 3, it is this part that was repeated. In thee shall what? All the families of the earth be blessed. That would mean Abraham was called out so that everybody in the world can be blessed. So there is something called calling. Say calling. So that means it is in the calling that we understand God's plan. You are called to understand. You are called to understand. Why do we have calling? Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. The primary reason we have calling is for understanding. That is why when you are convinced of the call of God on your life, the first thing is not to preach, is to learn. Abraham was called so that the whole earth will be blessed. But it was not until Genesis 15, verse 6, that the Bible now said, Abraham believed God, it was counted for him for righteousness. It was not until Genesis 17, verse 1, that the Bible now said, Abraham walked before me and be thou perfect. It was not until Genesis chapter 21 or 22, verse 14, around that side, that Abraham now said unto Isaac that the Lord himself will what? Provide a lamb for the burnt offering. So progressively, he now understood God. Are you with me? So he was called long ago, but he first had to embark on the journey of understanding. Same as Paul. It's not the day that he received salvation that he was now bringing forth profit in ministry. It took years of learning for mastery. Say calling is for understanding. So God always selects a path to bless the whole. He selects a path to bless the whole. He selects a path to perceive, to learn, to understand, to teach. To perceive. That means he shows you so you can know his will. To learn it. To understand it, then to teach it. Luke 6 verse 12. So when you now teach it, then it is only then that you will bring in the harvest. This is the same reason why even till today, God deals with us in units. In units. Not together. Units. See, I say, look. Luke 6 verse 12. It came to pass. So this, our small number, is not the end game. This, what we are here for, is what I can call the retreat center, so that the harvest can come in. Each unit of the body is there so that, number one, the entire body can be better, and also so that the world can come in, so that the world can be blessed. Remember what I said to you on that Healings 106, that even if the church is only 10, that you should have at least like 1,000 influence on the streets. Are you with me? 10:1,000, that's 1:100. That means one man, one Christian, one taught Christian should be able to influence 100 people that are not even coming to his church. Are you with me? Are you with me? Come on. That would mean you must have converts plenty that are not even coming to you. That's the harvest. Amen. Come on, amen. So see Luke 6 verse 12. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Amen. Say all night. Say tomorrow. That's an announcement. Verse 13. And when it was day, he called what? Unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named what? Apostles. Now, something is there that you know, we didn't really see. Go to Mark 3, verse 13. Mark 3, 13. Mark 3, 13. And he went up into a mountain and called unto him whom he wound, and they came unto him. Mark 3, 14. Want to be, let's read. He ordained 12 that they should what? Be with him. Say, be with him. Say, be with him. And that he might send them forth to preach. Why did Jesus add the 12? To be with him, then to send them forth to preach. So why didn't you just start ministering to the whole world and just everybody receive, everybody receive? Nobody is special. Don't worry. Peter, you are not special than the woman caught in adultery. Luke, you are not. Let me just place with everybody. There is always an inner call that will understand more. Some people that we, that unfortunately, for those people, they will have to forgo some things. Are you with me? Unfortunately, imagine Abraham, what did he do? That's Genesis 12 verse 1. Bible says, get thee out of what? Your father's house. Abi? Of your kindred unto a land I will show you. So he embarked on a journey. He had to leave some things behind. That is why, for those, you remember, even the disciples say, we have forsaken all and followed you. And what will now be our reward? And the reward that Jesus told them, that, well, the reward is that the harvest will come. Are you seeing? So it is normal for you not to have the same ambition as that your friend. It's normal. It's because you have a career in God, right? I'm going back there. Are you with me? It's normal. It's normal. It's normal for the same person that is exposed to the same opportunities that you are exposed to be richer than you. Why? You don't have the same pursuit. You don't pursue the same things to the same degree. Because the same church now, we also tell you that you must walk. So therefore, you must walk. Yes, you must see something else as priority. So that would mean, at times, it just looks like, of course, not an excuse for failure, but it just looks like, it will be, anyway, let me say, it will be glaring that, although this lady is here, but she's also, most times, she's also somewhere else. Of course, she does walk well, so we cannot find any faults in her. But we know that anytime we tell her that, can you close by 6:30 on Wednesday? Say, madam, please, ma'am. No go area. Are you with me? Say, we are men on duty. So that's the function of a local church. The world is 1/5, is it 3 billion, right? 7 billion, right? Sorry, in Nigeria, it's 150 million. The world is 7 billion people. God wants 7 billion to be blessed. So he selects people in groups so that the world can be blessed. It's less a unit. Are you with me? So he ordained 12. Now see what those 12 were able to do. The 12, now, after he was gone, it was the 12 that ensured the continuity of what he came for. Even the day he was crucified, people are already saying, well, he was a prophet, signs and wonders, well, we didn't know they have killed him, yeah? If not for the 12, who will be there on Pentecost? Imagine, it's not about miracles. He ascended bodily like this, first time in history, before 500 people. Elijah was not chakra everybody. Jesus did not chakra anybody. They saw him. 500, okay, which miracle is more than that? 500 people saw you move up to heaven. On that day of Pentecost that I was talking about, how many were there? 120. 40 said, well, you my grandfather said, he went up to like that, wherever. So, but some people ensure that what this man has said, he will not die. That's why when they were about to select Matthias to fill in the gap for Judas. They say, of these people that has company with us from the beginning till now, must one be ordained who must be a what? An eyewitness of the resurrection of God, of Jesus. Praise God. Say we are selected so that the world can be blessed. See that John 4, 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months and there cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field. Look forth to 35 now. For there are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth, receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto what? Life everlasting. Say life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Hallelujah. So, the fruit of our labor will be eternal. It's priority. The fruit of your labor, now you pray for 15 hours at times, 18 hours, 20-something hours, 40-something hours, without a prayer point for yourself, don't worry, the fruit will be eternal. So, units has always been the plan of God. Units will get the word saved. Units of the body will get the word healed. Therefore, we must be organized. We must be organized. We must be well trained. Why do we have units? For training. For training. You cannot say, I want to train the word. You are not serious. For training. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. This is how also that we can influence other ministries. Individuals cannot influence winners. Individuals cannot influence RCCG. But RCCG can influence winners. You know that? Are you with me? Winners can influence Christ members. Are you with me? Come on, are you with me? So it's also a unit of the body that can what? Influence another unit of the body. So I'm saying the unit of the body can best influence another unit of the body, and also a unit of the body will be in best position to bless the world. You remember most times when maybe in that Acts 15, when Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem, when they were now returning, the church in Jerusalem sent other prophets and apostles like Silas and Judas, right, to follow them back, to go and ensure that what they are doing was established. So that those guys, those Gentiles, they will know that, yes, these people, they are the full backing of the church. So even in what you so-call your evangelistic crusade retreat, there must yet be an order. You must be sent forth from somewhere. Are you with me? Come on, are you with me? So, we are one. When we are one, we will be singular in our pursuit, in our purpose. Any church that is saying, my mission is that I just want to reach the whole world, you are not serious. You will have a plan. This month, we are reaching Dede. Next month, we are reaching Gwarimpa. It is in segments. We will be singular. And we ensure that whatsoever we are doing, we are going to hammer it. That is called a unit of the... It's an organization. It's a spiritual one anyway. Are you with me? See offices. So, in purpose, singular in purpose, in ambition, we serve God from a place. We are to serve God from a place, not on your own, not as an island. So, all your labor in evangelism, in fact, all your labor in giving for Christianity must be through a church. Even in the Acts of the Apostles, they are giving to the poor was done through a church. They bring everything to the apostles' feet. The apostles will now make what? Distribution. All your labor, your evangelism is not personal. I am not saying, okay, your giving, everything is church moderated. Somebody say, why? The question is, why not? First, ask answer, why not, before why? Why running it on your own? Why trying to do something that the church must not know about? Why? What else can be the reason? Eh? Ambition. Just go and look. Every other reason they give you, by the time you finish interpolating, completing the square, cut off, simplifying the equation, you see that the final answer is ambition. If they can give you reasons like, well, they want them. The question is, why should he be independent of the church? No matter how long the equation is, solve it. It's ambition. That's the answer. So, what, like for instance, there are some benefits I outlined there, like when we do it together. Number one, it takes off that ambitious pursuit in ministry. That's number one. When we do it together, number one, it takes away that ambitious purpose pursuit in ministry. Number two, it ensures the continuity of the work. When we do ministry together, when we do it from a place, it ensures the continuity of the work will be ensured. So if Bradusha will no more be in Kaduna right now, we ensure that the church in Kaduna will not die. Continuity. Continuity. Even as he's there, we are also here building people to support him. Also, it helps the minister in accountability. It helps to be accountable. The church will be able to protect you, defend you. Accountability. Also, it is honor for your local assembly. It is to honor your local assembly. Why would you want to do something that your church will not be aware of? That your church must not have a hand? It's honor for your local assembly. So it's ambitious to try to serve the general body. When you try to just say, I want to serve the general body of Christ, I want to serve everybody, it's ambitious. Most times, what we call evangelistic crusade, just crusade, where 1 million people saved. Yeah. Okay. How many of you have done, a worker for those evangelistic crusade, or you have just been one of the, maybe ushers or something? What are you doing, guys? Jesus, all those times, you are doing lap dance, or what? Serious. That means, Galewu, what do you use your youth for? Amen. Now, this is my question. When they say a million saved, how do they take the census? Good. Number one, altar call, right? Number two, what? Decision cards, have you? They will not count it. If I've seen crusaders, how they know the number of people that are saved is, if you have believed this million, you are saved, raise up your hand. And they raise up, and they use digital method to just know, they will snap it, then later they will be able to just, digital technology now, just like a statistics of how many hands are raised up, and they just say 2 million saved. Yeah, Port Harcourt, 100,000 saved. And also, like me now, for instance, in a redemption camp, a lot of times when I ran out then for salvation call, it is to see the altar, the pulpit. Because your church will not allow you to advance to the front during the sermon unless it was only during altar call that you'll be able to what? Come outside. Also, something like me later, I love to also see the big speakers. So just don't see that beautiful. Wow. And also, at times, you go out because your friend is what? He's going out. Also, at times, you go out because you want to be healed. Anything to take you to the front. I just want to touch that altar. Once I touch the altar, all my prayer will be solved. Is that salvation? So, write this down. It is in the church. It is in teaching meeting that you now... Okay, let me say this way. How did I put it down? I should put it down somewhere. Many more get saved in teaching meeting than in crusade. Write that down. Many more get saved in teaching meeting. Because what happens now in the unit of the body, it will be emphasized that this is what gets a man saved. In crusade ground, a lot of things must happen. Healing must happen. Miracles must happen. Even the guy that got saved, you didn't even know if he listened to the sermon. You didn't even know when he entered. Are you with me? Maybe just enter when you say, if you want to do this, come out. Some of them, as they are just entering the crusade ground, the order just is, come out. They just come out. For what? What is serving? What you believe in your heart that you are now saying with your mouth? Are you with me, brother? So that will mean you cannot guarantee the salvation of these people in the crusade ground. It's in the church that we cannot guarantee it. I love the way Pastor Nenka will say a gathering is required. So to just be doing crusade, 1 million people say this one, country to country, without any plan to establish them in a local assembly. Quote me anywhere, it's ambitious. Quote me anywhere. That thing to just go around, go to Kenya, got 500,000 people, go to this, and there is no plan to establish them is ambitious. I can defend that statement anywhere. Amen. Amen. Okay, I think I'll give my assignment. Between today and Saturday, tomorrow and Saturday, okay? You do a work for me, okay? Find 10 Christians online and find 10 Christians on the street. Tomorrow and Saturday. You know? So I'll receive the report on Sunday. So find 10 Christians on the street. Find 10 Christians, 10 to online. Ask them, why are you a Christian? What got you saved? Ask them. Christians, just general. I need a report. Just don't pick anybody that has been following your post for long on Facebook. Pick just somebody that is neutral. Just I just know that he's a Christian. Just ask him. How can I phrase the question very well so that you don't give them hints? Or you can ask them something like, why do you think you are born again? Some people will say, I'm not born again. Say, I know I'm not born again. Ask them such question. Please write the report. And of course, when they are done answering you, make an effort towards teach them the gospel, okay? Are you with me? Make an effort to teach them the gospel. Of course, that's the essence. Not just sense of what. Find 10. Say 10. So today, find people. Are you not meeting people? It's simple. Just ask them. That's your life. Say, Christianity is my life. So find 10 on the street. Acts 2, verse 40. So you discover that a lot of people that are called saved, they don't even know Jack. When you come to say, you dance. Acts 2:40. And with many other words did they testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. And they that what received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them. Say added. Say added. Say they joined them. But what 3,000 souls. So as they were preaching, they had plans for them. They're not preaching and say, well, you guys, you are saved right now. Well, there's no space in my church for you. You can go back to where you came from. No. There must be plans for your converts. To just get people saved, then you go to another place to snap picture is ambitious. Establish these ones. If you will establish these 3,000, they will reach 100 million later. Are you with me? So, see verse 42. And they what? Continued. What? Say they continued. Say they continued. Say it's not enough to say I am saved. Say the proof of salvation is the continuity. A man that is not saved will not continue. John said in First John chapter 2, said they went out of us because what? They were never of us in the first place. Because they were never part of us. That's why they went out. That's why they left the gathering. So a service like this is the proof that you are truly born again. A man that is not born again cannot be in an edifying assembly, for instance. You can't. How will you survive? How will you survive? The ladies are not looking at your face. The brothers are not looking like they want to marry. Everybody has a career in God. So what else will attract you? You are seeing keyboard that they are not playing. See drums, nobody is going there at times.
Amen. So something must really be in your heart to say, I will be there.
Hallelujah. So all of you, I can say you are born again. Praise God. I just confirm your salvation. So you are going to heaven. Hallelujah. So rejoice. Okay, rejoice. Oh, hallelujah. So they continue. Say steadfastly. Say not like that guy over there. Say steadfastly. Say you are doing like you are not in the body yet. Eh? You continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believe were what? All that believe were together and had all things in common. They sold their possession goods, parted them all to all men as everyone has need. And they continued daily with one accord. Say one accord. Say one accord. In the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all men. And the Lord was added. Say added. To the church daily as such that should be saved. So as they are saved, they were being added to the church. See Acts 4 verse 4. Albeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Verse 32, and the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. Say one soul. Say one thinking. Say one mindset. Say no divergence. So, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. See Acts 5 verse 14. Acts 5 14. So you must be, it's not just be saved and say, it's be added. This is the church. The church has plans for its converts. Acts 5 verse 14, and believers were the more added to the church, to the Lord, multitudes of both of men and women. So they were not just saved, they were added to the church. Praise God. Praise God. Say a gathering is required. Say we do it together. Say we don't get men saved and we leave them there. That's what ambitious people do. I've told you. We plan for them. That's what happens when you do it on your own. Amen. You enter school and your ministry just crashed. Everybody you have gathered all this way because you have entered school, all of them now just that's the end of the fellowship. What's that? If you are being launched out from a place, what would they ensure as you are leaving? Somebody else, a replacement. So for the sake of those people, you must be launched from a place. So now, in the body like this, in the unit of the body like this, there are duties to perform. Before I go to the specifics, let's first talk about the general. Number one, pray for your church. Before I go to the specifics, let me talk about some general offices that we all belong to. Some general duties that we all perform in the church. Number one, pray for your church. I mean, a deliberate making mention of your church in prayers. You must wish your church well in prayers. You pray. You pray for its members. You pray. You pray that the first timers, that they comprehend the word of God. You pray. You put this in your daily prayer. Somebody say, since we have alcohol prayers, what should we all be praying about? Pray this. Pray this. Pray for the first timers. Pray that in the name of Jesus, on the service on Sunday, all six are healed. All men deficient of knowledge, they come and will receive understanding of God's word. We come, we become better. We pray in the name of Jesus. Father, when I get hearing the word, you stop looking like the pastor is saying something. Are you with me? You pray. You pray. God, this unserious choir of this church, can you just help them? Amen. You pray. Pray. Say pray. You pray for your church. God, these people, may they stop scoring how much in the exam? 30-something, 20-something. God, have mercy. Is it have mercy? No, it's not have mercy. Amen. You pray. And you pray that in the name of Jesus, anoint the teachers, anoint the people that set the exam, for the exam to be more standard. Hallelujah. Praise God. You pray. You pray. You won't pray that one.
You pray.
Now we have, I'm serious, no? We have brethren that leave us every weekend. They travel. You pray. You pray for them. I'm serious. I love you. Pray for them. You love very you pray tomorrow morning. I'm serious. You pray for them. And I will tell you not to. You will not leave this place on the ghetto Kaduna. You pray for them. You pray in the name of just ministry prospers in this new territory. You pray. Ah, say pray. Say your church needs prayer. You pray for the pastors. You pray.
So that's number one. Number two, let's say it this way. Respect the structure of your church.
So your general duties.
Respect your church structure. Respect the training. If they said in your church that, okay, this is what is applicable, respect it. Don't say, well, in where I'm coming from, this is not how we do it. Respect it. I told you yesterday that the message will change everything. The message will change the type of training you receive. If, for instance, some people, once you just have a nice voice, you're an automatic choir director, something like that, and if you now have an ad bomb, in fact, you start missing, in fact, just some, just see a lady that's just come forward for a special number. People just say, wow, what a voice. Sister, after service, can you please see the choir director? Imagine. Is that how you became a chorister? I'm sorry. And that's why several choristers of churches are filled with fools. No apology. Filled with fools. People that ought not to just be in front, they ought to be at the door of the church. These people that just will play keyboard and go. Play keyboard and collect money in church. I say, well, we are actually paying for their expertise. No, it's not easy to learn keyboard. What is there? Do re mi fa so. Hallelujah. Do. So you don't know that song. You are too. Anyway, I'm coming to the fiscal office, not today. But you see people that are bold enough. Pastor, yeah, I'm coming from to your church. It's actually. One came to me, I can be playing keyboard for us. I come from Dubai. I can pick you up. Not just that. Last place, this is how much they are paying. I was just looking at him. This is how much they are paying in last place. This guy has missed this already. You see, this is how much they are paying me your last one. I said, so. He just changed the discussion. That was the end. That's where I saw him. You want to be paid in the church. You read your Bible. People sold their possession, brought it to church. You are coming to church to get possession. You are the one. You are the one that they are selling it for. You are part of the body. You don't have an office, so you are the destroyer of the office. Are you with me? You play your part. Respect the church structure. Respect it. Respect the trainees. Do membership training. Do it. Don't do it grudgingly. Don't do it with. Well, they say we should write an exam. No. Don't say, is it not just to pass? Don't say words like that. Let the interest of the church be your interest. Excel in what your church terms as excellent. In that thing that your church, let your church define excellence for you.
Number three. Number two. Also,
the meeting times, respect it. Respect it. Number three,
Meet the physical needs of your church. Now, let me say this, and please write this down.
a good local church is reasonable in its pursuit. A good local church is reasonable in its pursuit. That would mean I will not just come here and say, well, in this year, we're going to be getting a venue beside Also Rock when I know that the financial capability of the church is not able. I tell you guys, go and be doing this, go and be changing zeros. I've heard of churches that ladies go into prostitution so they can meet church targets. I'm serious. Ask people. Let me mention names. That's serious. Because they want to give up. That's serious. So a good local church must be reasonable in its pursuit. But now, think of it and now see this. But when we agree on a need to be met, what do? We take jobs, we let go of all day money, we sell things to meet such need. You don't just give to say, I want to play my part. No. We don't stop giving until the need is met. See, for instance, you want to buy a gen that is maybe just say 20K. You will not just give 2K and say, I'll play my part. No. You are playing your part when the gen is in church. The reward of the 2K you have given is the generator. Are you getting me? The reward will not come to you in heaven. If you give, it's simple, okay. If you bought a TV worth 200,000 naira, what is the reward of your 200,000 naira? So what will be the reward to you? You watch, right? You see movies, you see anything you want to see. That's the reward. So when you give money in church, the reward, the reward of you, money, everything now, is that now, there's AC, right? You're at the school. That's the reward. It's not in heaven. Okay, let's say 50-50. Half is in heaven. But are you getting me? So you don't stop that mindset that, okay, we are giving, yeah, I play my part. Since we are looking for 200K, or let me say we are looking for something for venue. I say, well, so let's give. Drop 1.15. And your shoe is what? Not this one. And your shoe is what? See shoe, see designer. Amen? This one. Yeah, it's not shiny. Is that what sells? Hallelujah. Let me see your shoe. In case you see a shoe to sell, this one. Hallelujah, bro. Just God bless you. That's a boot, man. Hiding their leg. Amen, amen. That's your shoe. So, we are looking for shoes to sell. Someone doesn't have a shoe. Our king doesn't have a shoe. Praise God. Are you with me? So, at times, it's not out of place. Your plans. See, these are the things that we do for our school. Why is church different? We sell phones to pay school fees. Why is church different? Amen. Are you with me? This should frame your mindset. That when we say there is a need. At times, you ought to take flight to where you are going, enter road. Why? There is a need. So you don't stop giving until the need is met. You don't say, I have played my part, so bye-bye. A lady in church needs a school fees, 50K, 50K, say, well, don't worry, I will pray for you. My pastor, I will pray for you. So that's Jesus, I will pray for you. Yes, you are using ZL, that's 15K. Sell the ZL. But they resell it now, don't they? Praise God. Are you with me? So the need being met is our reward. Say the need being met is our reward. That's the point. That's what it is in it for us. The same thing when we are saying give and shall be given. That means we're not even talking about giving this cutting. When, like, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, 10, when you say, when you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly, it's simple. What you sow is not what you reap.
For instance, when you pay your for people going to SAPI school, when you pay like a million naira for your children's school fees, what will you gain? Is it money? What will you gain? When the child comes to and says, "Hello, mommy, mommy, no, don't call it TV, it's a tab. Mommy, no, it's not there, it's not Nepal's power failure, mommy." Say, "Wow, my 1 meter is working." Are you with me? So when you give to church, when you give to the work of God, what is your reward? The work is progressing. Is that not enough to make you happy? Some people are happy. When you give to the bake, when she's now shining, is that not your reward? Yes. Oh my God. Tola, why are you like this? That is your reward. When you just see her, just coming, pa, pa, pa. You will tell your friend, "That is my day." Yeah. You have your reward in full. So that's the church that we are seeing here, that there is light, where there is generator, is enough reward. That is should be enough to make you happy. Don't say I've given God. I gave 500 naira last month. God, do something with my life. Amen. 500 naira. Amen. So, number four. Come on. Number four. Write this down. Invite people to your church. Invite people to your church. That's some of you. I won't allow you to travel. You have not replaced yourself. Who will pastor be teaching? Why don't you go home for Christmas break? Answer now. Show me the person that is like you because of you in this place. So next year, you try again. Amen? So that is a response to everybody that wants to travel. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Cynthia, including you. You go nowhere. Amen. Anyway, your own parents are here, so. So don't forget, your church is the greatest institution that you belong to on earth. Is the greatest. Greater than the marriage institution, greater than your academics. So a church that is not growing, what will happen when lawful things now takes people away? Invite people to your church. A church that is not growing is a cult. A church whose membership is always peace, ife, and wife is a cult. When no new people is joining you, you are a cult. You're a cultist. This is nice now. Fraternity. A year. You see them. That's where they are coming from. So this is why all your effort in ministry must come to a single point as much as practicable. Write that down. All your effort in ministry must come to this single point as much as practicable. That means as much as you can, everybody you preach to, try to bring them to where? To your church. As much as what? Practicable. Of course, if you are preaching to somebody online, I should recap, right? Thank you. I said, this is why all your efforts in ministry must come to a single point, to a single unit, as much as practicable. So, but you seek this, you go after this, you ensure that your church is not stagnant. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. Are you with me? Number five, don't miss services and come early. See, the time for your church, just have this in your mindset. Your business cannot have it. Call it December rush hour. That time for your church. Let it be clear in your mind. Nothing can have it.
cleaning services. It's so simple. If you say, I'm busy, what if the pastor too is busy? No, don't forget, it's called a body. It's called a body because every part is vital. The preacher is one part of the body. And I've told you, if you woke up and what happened? Your eyes is not here. What will happen? Is the body complete? No. If you woke up and just one of your hands, you left it in the dream. You didn't wake up with it. Not really, where is it? It's not there. You go back. Thank you. So everybody is vital. Say everybody is vital. Say everybody has a part to play. Say leading and following are all parts we play. So if the man wants to lead and nobody to follow, what will happen? He will stop leading. Say I'm vital. Come on, say I'm vital. So you are as important as the preacher. You are as important as the preacher. You must love yourself that much that you don't want to miss a day. I can say clearly, I was in the church for 3 years. I didn't miss one midweek service. I didn't come late one day. That was between 2005, 2006, 2007. I was in the church for 3 years. I didn't miss one midweek service. It's just in my heart. And yet I work. Of course, I was self-employed. It was just in my heart. I want to be there. You can't have that time. It's so clear. When I was doing my head, it was so clear. You can't have that time. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, and please write this down. And some of us need to really arrange our lives to suit our church structure. Meaning our job, our house, everything. Some of us really need to arrange our life to suit the church structure. Truly, we are men on an assignment, okay? We are men on assignment. We are men on assignment. Because don't forget, you know, it will always be good if maybe in the next 10 years, we see how people that knew when we did Understanding Genesis Series 1 around. After a lot of people have gone, there should still be some people. Of course, naturally, it will not be everybody. But there will be, still be some people who made that commitment that, I will be here. So, anything that want to carry me, come and carry me here. Yeah. Are you with me? Anything that will not carry me, don't carry me here. Yeah. Selah, selah, selah. Okay, so, don't forget, take notes, your evangelism life is not personal. It gets reported. You gather some people, you teach them, you report back. Let the church help the work to be better. Direct that huge part of your resources, of your strength to the church. Don't put the huge part of your strength to other ministries. No, direct it to you, to the church. You cannot help the whole world, Alaji. You cannot. It's just ambitious. We call ourselves a church because we will be unified in our pursuit and ministry. In our purpose, pursuit, and ministry. That's why we call ourselves a church. That means we have said that, okay, we are going to do it together. That's why it's called a church. It's a unit of the body. We do it together here. Amen, amen. So, yes, there are physical... units, help me. There are physical... I'm done. Keep looking. There are physical and spiritual duties, eh? Which we are going to look at later. For instance, some people may be asking, okay, my physical talents, are they needed in the church? That my physical talents, are they needed in the church? Yes. But you now see it as a privilege to serve. Not something that you come to church and charge the church for. Are you with me? Are you with me? You know, remember that common spirit that God causes rain to fall on the ungodly and the evil. That would mean God is telling Bill Gates that even that your money belongs to me. For the heart is the loss and the words and the fullness thereof. Are you with me? So even when you have talents in physical things, when you use it to serve in the church, you will still do it as a service to God. Not that because, well, I learned this soft skills from the best in the world, you can't have it for free. It's a church. Amen. Maybe for those churches that is being run like a business center, well, maybe that one's not a church. I say, well, that one maybe. But for a place that has that ministry of Jesus as their singular purpose, you use your talents to help the church to be better. Are you with me? You don't charge the church for it. You can do decoration. Yeah, you don't charge the church for it. You can play the instruments. You don't charge the church for it. So we have physical duties. We have spiritual duties. I will come to this one in the next part. That means you don't even just show up in church and say, well, all I want to do for you in this church is to do this for you. No. Everything gets moderated. Hallelujah. See our fund. See our fund. A unit of the body that I belong to. Say, I'm sincere here. I put all my effort here. Say, we have shows to do it together. Hallelujah. Come on, pray in tongues. That's the point. We have shows to do it together. We have shows to do it together. To serve God together. To be united, to be united. To be singular in our purpose. Nobody is running ahead of one another. Nobody is running for selfish glory. Nobody is running to have something for himself. We say we are here because we are going to do it together. We run together. We will not be wearied. We walk. We will not faint. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We do it together. We help one another. We support one another. We are not just going to stress ourselves out of personal purpose. We are not going to run our own race. We run it together. Yes, ministry is a race. We run it together. We're running together. Oh, glory to God. We're running together. We run it together. Yes, it's a race. We're running together. We do it together here. Come on, brethren. We do it together here. We do it together here. We do it. That's why it's called a unit of the body. We have been selected to be trained to learn of God so that the harvest can come in. So we do it together. We get trained, we do it together. We get better, we do it together. We do it together. We monitor ourselves. We checkmate ourselves. We checkmate ourselves. We checkmate ourselves. We do it together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Abuja Church prospers in our hands. We pray for our church. Kaduna Church prospers in our hands. Whoever that is coming, prospers. That is close to the University of Abuja. Prospers in our hands. We are looking at Mina, it prospers in our hands. We are looking at Sokoto, it prospers in our hands. In the name of Jesus. In this place, we choose to run the assignment of God together. In the name of Jesus, we say resources come to us even where we are. In the name of Jesus, lawful things of life will not take us apart. Resources come to us where we are. Good work comes to us in this place. Eh? In the name of Jesus, good works come to us in this place. Good and godly relationship comes to us in this place. Every good thing happens to us to keep us together. To keep us together. For the assignment is primary, is priority. For what binds us together, that ministry of Jesus for the whole world is primary. It's priority. It's priority. It's priority. Beyond every other thing, it's priority. It controls everything else. It's like an app on your phone that can control, as an admin, right? It controls, moderates every other thing. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Ministry controls every other thing, brethren. And here is the place we have chosen to do it together. So it's lack of sincerity to just be jumping from one unit to the other. You find a place where you can be committed there. Help them run together, run together, run together, run together, run together, run together. Supply your parts. Supply your parts. You are as important as the preacher. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Say, I play my part. Say, I play my part. Say, I play my part in this body. Thank you so much.